Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. It's good to have you tuned in with us as we broadcast from the eastern plains of Colorado from my basement. I'm a homeschool father of five, and we have been homeschooling our children for, well, I guess it's been a couple of generations since my parents were homeschooling me back in the 1960s and 1970s. But I have a vision for reforming education according to the Word of God. I truly believe that in a humanist age where people have, by and large, forgotten about God, God has been expelled from schools on good behavior, and I think it's time to bring God back, and I think it's time to rethink the way we do education. Now, one of my focal points is science, because I was trained in science. I have a BS in mechanical engineering from Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. Back in the 1980s, worked in the computer business and then on into the high-volume manufacturing automotive industry for a period of about 8 or 9 years before I took the flying leap off the corporate ladder to be involved in ministry. And that's what I've been doing now for the last 12 years or so. So now I'm really focused in on how do we teach science and teach it such that we can incorporate way more worship and way more life. We need to bring life application and worship back into the sterile, boring science class. And I tell you what, you take God out of science and you take life application out of science and put it in some boring classroom and you give kids boring textbooks with no application. I tell you what, you've got a pretty irrelevant form of education in science, because if God's out of it, there is no purpose. If God's out of it, there is no reason to do dominion. That is the application of science to bring the elements of the world under man's control and man's use for the betterment of mankind. That kind of thing is gone if you take God out of the equation. So over the last over the next 20 years, I really hope that we will bring way more life application and fear of God or worship of God into the science class. And I think we need to reinvent the way we teach science over the next several decades. This is my goal. So I was very excited to find the Homeschool Institute of Science already started up with a vision of this sort. And Will Boyd is heading up this effort right now. They've got a website as well. We'll talk about that in a moment. But Will Boyd is the president of Homeschool Institute of Science. He is also a father of five sons. And he joins us now on the Generations Broadcast. Will, welcome to our program.
Thanks so much for having me, Kevin.
Well, I've got a vision for bringing God back into science and bringing life back into science. You know, I tell you what, in general, I think science is just too boring. Do you agree with that?
Oh, I entirely agree with that. I think maybe earlier on in the elementary ages, I think it's taught more for appreciation, and it's probably not too boring then, but we make it boring pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And as a good friend of mine said, you know, dry bones is how we've kind of taught secondary science for quite some time now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I tell people, you know, you got to teach physics by walking by a well and dropping a rock. You know,
yeah.
You got to drop the rock. You don't go to the textbook and pull the 1/2 GT² off the two-dimensional textbook. No way, no way, no way. Come on. The way
exactly
you teach 1/2 GT² is you walk by that well, drop the rock, 1 and 2 and 3 and 1/2, 32 times how many seconds it was squared, and you're there. But, you know, you've got to teach it that way. You got to teach, you know, kinetic energy and potential energy running down the freeway at you know, 55 miles per hour is to tell your kid, hey, you hit that brick wall at 55 miles per hour. I want you to figure out the kinetic energy. Now, we were able to reduce the speed to 25 miles per hour before we hit the brick wall. How much would we reduce the amount of energy, kinetic energy transferred into heat, which would ultimately mean the rearrangement of bones in our bodies? How could we reduce substantially the V squared in order to reduce
that's
the kinetic
right
energy and hopefully save lives? So, you know, that's the way you teach 1/2 mv². Forget this textbook thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if the way we teach it now is because we're more worried about crowd control and we're trying to teach to large groups. But
yeah,
as you know, like teaching any other subject, the best classroom is the homeschool classroom.
Mm.
And we have such opportunity to go right outside and see an object lesson and mm-hmm. do an object lesson right, either right before or right after we teach the concept.
I got to tell you a story.
You know,
you speak about you got to take every opportunity to teach this. Well, my son was struggling with the issue of centripetal force. Okay, he's doing his physics in centripetal force. I said, no problem, son. Let me show you how this works. I tie a pen to a string, a ballpoint pen to a string. Okay, I swing it around. I say, okay, you go faster and faster. Here, you do it. And my son goes faster and faster and faster and faster. I don't know if you know anything about the construct of a ballpoint pen, but the ball pulls apart and there is ink from the ballpoint pen going all across the walls and have permanently damaged my wife's curtains in the study room. And my son has never forgotten the lesson of centripetal force.
That's right. He never will.
It took us several years to, you know, get the walls repainted and curtains replaced. So, you know, yeah, you take the opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And the other point I think, you know, is even more important is that as we've kicked God out of school, it's like going to a beautiful art museum of just the best art imaginable and pretending that there's no one who painted it. There's no artist.
Yeah.
And so in the natural sciences, especially,
you're taking personality out of it. You're taking God's personality out of it.
That's right.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Wow. As if nobody did this, as if this is the product of mere chance. You know, we love to talk about dogs. My daughter has got a husky business. She raises puppies. And we're constantly, just last night, I was looking at the dog and saying, you know, something like, God must have a sense of humor. Create a dog like that. He's got a one-track mind. All he thinks about is food. But I said, God put that in that dog's brain. He put that one thing in that dog's brain. All that dog knows is to go around and clean up. And then I said, you know, one of the nice things about dogs is that they'll clean up a lot of the food and the gross, you know, spoiled stuff that people leave out. And that prevents disease. You know, the dog just takes all that food in and grinds it all up. And sometimes they even bury their own feces. You know, dogs actually have a benefit to society. And people sometimes forget there's a God who put that together as all part of one ecosystem.
That's right. And I think we've divorced ourselves from that ecosystem as well. And that's how ecology is taught in public school, unfortunately, is that we're a separate entity. But then at the same time, it's denied that we're actually are significantly different from the animal world as well and made in the image of God.
Yeah, exactly. Well, as you say, I think it's important to take as many opportunities as possible to draw God into the picture. And you look around and, you know, all of creation really proclaims God's creative power and wisdom. And we need to remind our children of that all the time. And science is the opportunity to do that. And that's one thing I like about your site. You really emphasize the importance of praising God in science.
Mm. Oh, yeah. And I mean, to go outside it's a rainy day here where we are, but just there's everywhere you look, just taking the time and to think God's thoughts after himself. That's really what science is. And we have that opportunity because we've been made in his image to think creatively, truly creatively. And whether it's just observing or it's taking what we've observed and then manipulating his creation for his glory and for our enjoyment and benefit. I think there's so much overlap. I really like this. There's nothing new under the sun, but I really like this new science teaching paradigm called STEM education.
Okay.
Which stands for science, technology, engineering, and math. And it really captures, I think, the Dominion mandate.
It brings all those factors together in one. So it tries to unify it, I guess, huh?
Yeah, it is really well unified. And if you look through the Bible, we can find examples of each of these areas, the experts. You know, Solomon was really one of the preeminent pre-scientists of his day. He knew of trees, he knew of animals, and he taught about them. He taught the Queen of Sheba about them. The technologist, Tubal-Cain in Genesis 4, who was the craftsman. There was Noah, who was the preeminent engineer of his day,
mm-hmm.
And then there were the Magi, who were mathematicians and astronomers. And so I think there's a great biblical case for this type of STEM education. It really, and like I said, the best place to teach STEM education is at home and for God's glory. And you can see that through these giants in the scriptures.
Hmm. You know, I think one of the effective means that some guys have taken to the teaching of science is just pure enthusiasm. I think of Bill Nye the Science Guy and the Crocodile Hunter. Remember the Crocodile Hunter?
Oh, yeah.
Remember those programs? Yeah. I mean, these guys were infectious in terms of their enthusiasm. Sadly, they didn't give God the glory, and they won't give God the glory. And
right. And
it seems to me that Christians ought to be even more enthusiastic, even than Bill Nye, the Science Guy.
Oh.
You follow me here?
I wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah.
I wholeheartedly agree. And that's part of our jobs as parents, is to find what our children, or ourselves as well. We need to find what our passions are. We need to help our children find and cultivate their passions, and so they can glorify God in what they do when they're adults.
Hmm. How do you incorporate life into science? You know, so it's not just this sort of theoretical thing, but you can actually do stuff with it. Give it some examples of how you can teach science in a practical way.
Well, one of the big things that I think is important for the homeschooling parent is to really get a handle on how their children learn best. And I think that might change over time for a given child. But my two oldest children, for example, my oldest son, Cyrus, is here with me today. He's 9, and his next brother down, Owen, is 7. And they learn totally differently. Owen, he'll sit and take apart an appliance for a couple hours. And that's, he'll fidget and hum to himself the whole time.
Mm.
And his older brother, Cyrus, will observe either by reading a book for a long period of time, or he started to do some introductory computer programming as well. And I think knowing what their interests are, mm-hmm. and trying to use that as an avenue to get to concepts. So, for example, electromagnetism. You know, you have an old appliance, you buy one at a thrift store, your microwave breaks. And we do this so much now, my children kind of hope that an appliance breaks so they can take it apart. But you get that appliance on the table and they just go to town, and building and destroying things is really fun for a lot of children.
Yeah.
And so, observing and reading about something isn't enough for them. They really need, mm-hmm. to get their hands on it, and they really need to see and tear something apart to understand it.
Now you haven't.
So I think letting them have the freedom to do that, and looking for the opportunity to build a lesson into that, especially in the elementary ages, is a great way to do it.
Mm. Now you have several projects or examples of that on your website: how to build your own sound amplifiers, make your own instruments, the basics of flight, building the world's best paper airplanes, flying machines, etc. You try to provide some of these lessons on your website. What do folks find if they start clicking on these things? What would they find?
So what they would find, it's our science knowledge and know-how, and I really love the marriage of those two concepts. Science knowledge, the book, the concept. I think we've divorced knowledge from know-how for a long time. And so the conceptual understanding is incredibly important, but so is the hands-on understanding, the being able to do. And so what we've done in our video content library here is we've curated the web, because there's tons of great content out there. But there's also a lot of junk, and mm-hmm. what we found in our market surveys and in our focus groups is that parents really want to trust a curator, and so we've curated the best of the web.
Nice.
To find hands-on projects and conceptual understanding lessons, and where there have been gaps, we've built our own. And so, in the example of the airplane, which has been one of my favorites for a couple years now, you can teach so much about aerodynamics and drag and lift. In the physics of flight, and then build some fantastic paper airplanes and test them out.
Mm.
See how fast they fly and their distance, and do some comparison and some graphing. And so what we try to do is come up with a discrete topic like sound or flight, or this past month with hibernation. And we just kind of start from there and build on it and help to give the, especially younger children, an exciting understanding of these topics, but also a way to learn about them and reflect on the concepts through building and doing.
Now, Will, I noticed one of your goals is to cultivate a grassroots Bible-based stewardship ethic and responsibility towards creation. What are you thinking
that's
there?
Right.
I mean, obviously that's important. That's an essential part of the Dominion task, and a lot of the socialist programs out there haven't really accomplished very much. I mean, they act like they're doing something in terms of stewardship, but they turned out not to be doing all that much. But what do we teach our kids concerning stewardship?
Well, that's exactly right. And one of our driving forces is that we're a ministry that wants to come alongside the family. We respect the rightful authority of the parents in all educational endeavors. So this is not a top-down thing. And that's how conservation and biblical stewardship have to take place as well. And the way that's been engineered from the left, which I actually worked for 6 years in the environmental movement, and so I have a pretty good understanding of how things work there.
Okay.
It's really this top down, you need to make the choice that we think is best decision, and that's counter to what we've been told to do in the scripture. And so what we're trying to do is bring this back to the family level.
Mm-hmm.
And what it means there is understanding, going out and actually exploring and appreciating the beautiful creation around us, understanding the water cycle, the nutrient cycle, the carbon cycle. And then what does that look like for us at home? Are we going to do some gardening and do some composting? And I see this as not divorced from one of our other six principles, which is this entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our big challenges as a culture, a Christian culture, is to remarry ecology with economy.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've been opposing each other for so long in the mainstream media.
Wow.
And so I think we need to work this out.
I think
each one of us on our own.
So much of this can be resolved in what we call the family economy. We'd sure like you to be a part of our family economics conference sometime, Will, if you can be. We've got 3 or 4 scheduled for this year, but we really think the family economy is the best way to preserve private property, encourage private stewardship of God's resources, you know, and all of the good things involved. Once you turn everything over to the large socialist states or to the large corporations, you're inevitably, you are going to lose this element of stewardship and good, proper dominion of God's world. I think if we decentralize things back into family economies where families are individually responsible for the resources that God has given them individually, and they preserve them from generation to generation. They grow those trees on their property, you know, from generation to generation to generation, and they don't just, you know, cut them all down because they remember that their children and grandchildren are going to need some of those resources to continue on in the next generation. If it's a family-based approach to ecology and economy, I think we're going to live out the approach God has laid out for us in His Word.
I completely agree. And this idea of thinking generationally is such an important part of that. Because if we are thinking about the next generation and then our grandchildren and laying out a vision for serving the Lord and for being good stewards, that's going to be part of how we operate. And just like all other aspects of education, teaching stewardship at home it is the best classroom to do it.
Hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, the Homeschool Institute of Science, president of the organization, now with us on the Generations broadcast, Will Boyd. Well, how do folks get in touch with your ministry, and what sort of resources can they get a hold of?
So the best two ways to get a hold of us are on the web at homeschoolscienceinstitute.org, and then also our Facebook page, facebook.com/hisinc, HISINC. And what we have going now, we're still in our first year. We launched this Science, Knowledge, and Know-How curriculum, which is really a supplementary curriculum for those folks who are more structured. But it could even be used as a place to kind of as a springboard for homeschoolers who like a little more self-directed learning. And it's a series of videos, and those are conceptual lessons and projects. And we have a new one each week, and so please check that out. If you click on the link, you'll see there's a 7-day free trial. And so we'd love you to check it out and see if it works for you. And we're just going to be adding content each week as we go on. We've got it built into a monthly module. And so what we do here locally is we have a field trip that goes along with that module. And we have quite a few local events, including our second annual homeschooling conference that's coming up on March 8th.
That's great. Folks, get out of the box. Get out of the box now when it comes to the instruction of science. This is one way
That's
to do
right.
it. Yeah, this is another way to do it. This is what homeschoolers do best. Let's face it. You know, home education has its positives, and this is where we shine. If we can get out of the box, we start to life apply things, and we have some of the most powerful forms of learning that anybody can have. And I think it's because of our inherent flexibility, the liberty that God gives to us. And of course, in the midst of it all, we want to give God the glory for all these things that he has created. And I think that's really the thrust of what Will's program is all about, the Homeschool Institute of Science. Will, thanks again for joining us on Generations. We appreciate you sharing the vision with us.
Thanks, Kevin, so much for having me.
This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
Every year, Generations with Vision sponsors a family economics conference somewhere in America. This year, we are sponsoring a conference in Denver, Colorado on March 27 to 29, 2014. This is for families who want to reintegrate the family into a family economic vision, for families who want to find ways to mentor their sons and daughters into the family economy. This is just the conference for you. How do you choose the optimum business streams for your family? How do you integrate your children into the family economy? What about budgets and debt and capital investments? And what about inheritance and taking care of grandpa and grandma along the way? We'll have young entrepreneur panels, mom and daughter panels, retail and e-commerce panels, audience surveys, and some great keynote speakers, including family economics guru Alan Carlson and entrepreneur Dave Tucker, and yours truly, Kevin Swanson. Join us for our Family Economics Conference in our backyard, Denver, Colorado, March 27 to 29, 2014. Register today at FamilyEconomics.com.